Hello, Mad or Bad listeners, it's Rachel here. I just wanted to take some time to say a massive thank you to Podcorn for being the sponsor of this episode. Podcorn is a marketplace connecting podcasters to amazing podcast sponsorship opportunities, and we have had such a brilliant experience with them. We use them pretty much every week for our episode ads. So you never give up any of the rights for your podcast, and basically Podcorn is here to completely support you. And really, you get to keep all your own rights, you get to have creative freedom, and you know what, it gives you transparency and full control over how it works. So have a look out for Podcorn on www.podcorn.com. That's P-O-D-C-O-R-N. Warning, the following podcast may contain descriptions that some listeners may find distressing. Listener discretion is advised. Any views are all our own and do not in any way reflect the places where we work. So we'll get straight into it. The 30th of June 2016 was like any other English summer's day in Farnley, Leeds. The day's weather could be described as having a scattering of clouds with a peak of sun poking through. Jordan Burling, who was 18 years old at the time, in fact a few days from his 19th birthday, lay lethargically on an inflatable mattress in his family's lounge, the same place he had lay for months on end. Struggling to breathe, Jordan had become physically unwell over the past couple of months. He was unable to mobilise due to severe weakness. Weighing just 5 stone 11 pounds, Jordan was not much more than twice the weight he would have been at the age of 4.
5 stone 11 as well. I mean, really.
Literally not a pick on him.
And he's 18, isn't he? So you'd reasonably expect 19. Him to be. Yep, sorry, 90.
Yeah.
You'd expect him to be, I don't know how tall he was, but even if he was only sort of short, yeah, you'd want him to
ten stone
or something.
And before we go on, I mean, there is pictures online that were taken of him, like pictures of him before all this happened, and then pictures of him as he lay in bed. And the difference, I mean, he just doesn't even look like the same person at all. He was quite a chubby teenager. Not chubby, but like, you know, he'd a round, full face.
Yeah.
Really healthy looking.
Hmm.
And obviously the pictures of him laying in bed, he's just completely emaciated. He looks awful. Terrible, skin and bone. Yeah.
Since Jordan was bedbound and virtually immobile, his body had become riddled with infected bed sores, so serious that they were described as wide open wounds. They were the size of a person's fist and continued deep into his tiny frame, down through the layers of skin, muscle, and eventually to his bone. The bed sores had become so infected that they were full of sloughy green tissue and exudate. Due to Jordan's weakness and immobility, he had become incontinent of both urine and faeces and had to wear an adult incontinence pad at all times.
So let's go back a little bit. Jordan was 18 years old and did not have any diagnosis in regards to any long-term or chronic physical health conditions. He should have been a healthy 18-year-old looking forward to turning 19. However, on that fateful day, his health had, after months of decline, become acutely affected, so much so that 999 had to be called. To this day, it's still not clear how he ended up so unwell in the first place. Just 2 minutes after the ambulance arrived, Jordan was pronounced dead. There was absolutely nothing the paramedics could do. It was simply too late. You may be thinking, what in the world happened that an 18-year-old was condemned to a long, lingering and painful death on an air mattress in his living room? And why nothing had been done earlier to save his life. Today, we will unravel the shocking and sad story of the how and why of Jordan's death. It's a complicated story, one which will definitely challenge your belief system.
Jordan Burling was born to Dawn Cranston and Stephen Burling in 1998. Dawn and Stephen had met at Thomas Stanby Catering College when he was 22, she was 18. They had a daughter, Abby, and then moved in together in Seacroft. According to his father, Stephen, Dawn was unaware of a pregnancy with Jordan. Stephen got home from work one day to find nobody at home. He went to Dawn's mum's house, where it was announced that Dawn had given birth to a baby boy. But that was a...
It's It's bizarre though, isn't it? Like, yeah. I know it does happen that people are like unaware of being pregnant. I personally don't get how people are unaware of that. No. Like, obviously,
it does happen.
I was only just pregnant, and yeah. You can definitely not miss that.
Yeah.
It does happen, but I don't know. As we go on to discuss Dawn and kind of her personality and her mental health and everything, I think there's more to kind of say about that. There's more of an explanation than just physically she didn't look like she was pregnant.
Yeah,
there was a lot more going on there.
We'll get on to that. So Jordan was described as a, whatever this means, normal child, but, you know, nothing of note, out of the ordinary. A little bit stubborn, but enjoyed playing both in and outside the family home.
So Jordan started school in 2001 and actually struggled quite a lot when he was there. He was taken out of school after just 1 week, but in time, with healthcare, educational and social services support, he did eventually make progress and went back to school. Later on, when he was kind of 10, 11, 12, he was actually bullied at school to the point that Dawn decided to educate him at home, and that commenced from the age of 12. Before all of this, there was a meeting held in which the school communicated their worry that there was a general neglect of Jordan's needs. This is an excerpt from the meeting's minutes. So in quotes, Mr. Keeley, I presume he's one of the teachers, said that one school report stated that there was a general neglect of the child's basic needs. He was dirty, his shoes were several sizes too big, with socks to the front to compensate for the gap. He was not toilet trained, and he had defecated on the carpet. His teeth were black, and it came as no surprise to his mum when she was told. Another school report documented, in quotes, "Mother had trouble sleeping. Father lost his temper with her, saying when he gets home from nights, she's still in bed and just lazy. Mum began to cry and after heated debate, agreed. Advised about school routines." So after these meetings that went on in the school, the family were actually evicted from their home due to rent arrears. And this is when the family, I guess, started to have problems.
And because they were evicted from the home, obviously Jordan, you know, that didn't help him at all, did it?
No, that's not going to help matters as well. I think there was a lot of stuff going on.
I mean, you hear, don't you, sometimes about, you know, kind of cases where social services were involved. We don't know yet that they were or not involved in this. But if a child, I mean, I'm not a teacher, but if a child came to school and they're at his age... 12.
Well, he wasn't 12.
Sorry, yeah, he left
for
at 12.
This is before, so he was probably about 5, 6, 7.
But even if at 5, yeah, so 5, 6, 7. If,
but I mean, he's not toilet trained at that age.
No.
You know, he's clearly, they're not taking care of his needs.
It's dirty.
Yeah.
He's got socks in the front of his shoes.
Black teeth.
And black teeth. I mean, do you know what I mean? There's... And his mum's not surprised at that and kind of like, well, you know, what's the problem?
I know, and it's like, well, they clearly did, like, they were clearly... clearly had a plan in place as such because they were having meetings. But it's like, why didn't it go further?
And obviously what you have to remember as well, I guess, you know, it is difficult to act, isn't it, for social services as well? It's not as easy as what people might think.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know what I mean? Rather than just, right, that's not... the child. It's not...
No, and they're not baby snatchers or kid snatchers.
Of course
not. And they want to work with...
Yeah.
The families to obviously keep these kids, you know, at home and with their parents
and clearly,
where they should be.
And clearly, we're not... People were struggling here, weren't they? It wasn't just...
There was a lot going on, I think. Not just Jordan himself, but I think the wider family just had a lot of issues, actually.
And obviously all these issues arguably affect the child more than anyone, don't they? They all come down the...
Yeah, definitely. You know,
due to many factors, Dawn and Stephen split up. Dawn and the two children went to live with her mum, Denise, close by. For a reason unknown, Stephen drifted apart from his children and did not see them for years and years, in quotes. In court, he described how he cut off from them completely. He didn't want to go and see the kids, just got on with his work, and that was it.
I found him, I read all of the court transcripts, and he had quite a lot of cross-examination.
And the dad, yeah.
Mm. And he was just a bit bizarre, to be honest. Like, really, just like, they asked him like really simple, direct questions, like what age, up until what age did you see the kids? And he was like, oh, I can't remember. Like, how do you not know those things? Like, I'm not sure whether he has something going on as well, but it just sounded like...
Well, he held
like,
down a job, didn't he?
He did, sounds. But it sounded... well, it was, yeah, but people can do that. But it just sounded after they split up, like, he almost just...
He just kind of
washed his hands off. And maybe it was, like, a psychological thing that he cut himself off.
Yeah, I mean...
Because he didn't get along with Denise and he didn't get along with Dawn, the mother.
Yeah.
So I think, in a way, it was just... And God only knows what was going on behind...
Mm-hmm.
Closed doors, do you know what I mean? God only knows, but I think it was just his way of kind of self-preserving himself, probably.
Yeah, and we're not saying that's
self-preserving.
The right thing, but you can, you know what I'm saying. You can, not excusing him for that, but you can kind of see.
But he just have this kind of a, I don't know, just a distance. There's a distance there, definitely.
Hmm. Stephen did eventually reconnect with his children. Jordan would have been about 16 at the time. For some time, Jordan and Abby would visit Stephen at his house, and Stephen described Jordan as, in quotes, chubby and happy. However, things took a turn when Jordan was about 17 or just closely going on 18. Stephen described seeing Jordan for the last time. In quotes, he was poorly when he came up on a few Saturdays. He didn't look so well. He was breathless and he looked pale. Jordan explained he was not feeling well and that he had eaten something bad. Stephen had asked Abby to tell her mum to take Jordan to the doctors.
So Jordan's mother, Dawn, had experienced chronic mental health issues herself, and this was ongoing during Jordan and Abby's childhood, and they were never really treated or never really acknowledged as such.
Mm.
She had attended doctors complaining of feeling under a lot of stress earlier on in Jordan's childhood, and doctors had commented that she sometimes appeared slightly hypomanic. So, not the full kind of mania, but just a little bit, I guess, hyper in a way. Mm, I guess that's probably the best way of describing it. Dawn experienced quite significant trauma herself in her own life. She was sexually assaulted at age 14 and told nobody at the time. And she was bullied for years at end at school. Her family had endured harassments by nuisance youths for years on end, and her father had taken his life by suicide in the bedroom next to hers in 2006. A psychiatrist at court testified that Dawn herself was likely to be suffering from a dissociative state at the time of Jordan becoming unwell due to those previous factors.
I mean, that's certainly going to have... I mean, that's some trauma there, isn't it? Hi, all. We just want to let you know how thankful we are for Best Fiends for sponsoring this episode of Mad or Bad.
Want to know a little about Best Fiends? Best Fiends is a fun puzzle game that you can play on your phone, whether online or offline. It's a cute, super casual game that anyone can really play. I'm currently at home with a week-old baby, which is amazing and fun, but sometimes it's nice to have something to challenge my baby brain with and keep those brain juices working. That's where Best Fiends comes in.
It's nice for Rachel as she can play while she's feeding the baby and can put it down and pick it back up as she likes. I'm not sure whether baby brain extends to dads, but either way, it's fun to have an easy game that... anyone can play on my phone. I also enjoy how I don't actually need to play it online. It can be played offline too.
Best Fiends updates the game monthly, so there are always new levels, new characters to collect, and new challenges, so you'll never ever get bored. The game is everywhere at the moment.
Engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters. Trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play and let us know on social media how much you're enjoying the game.
That's friends without the R.
Best Fiends.
There's a lot going on there for her.
Not making excuses.
As regards her mental health,
though.
Come
on, you know, yeah.
But one other thing also needs mentioning. Dawn had experienced a miscarriage and the evidence was not found until after Jordan's death. Quoting from the court case, in quotes... In the wardrobe of the bedroom at the house you have lived in since 2002, concealed on the top shelf, the police recovered a rucksack within several other plastic bags. In the rucksack were the remains of a full-term baby. You said it was a boy. It was not possible to say whether the child had been born dead or alive, only the bones and teeth remained intact, from which experts were able to confirm that the child was aged between 38 and 40 weeks, close quotes. That's awful, isn't it?
I mean, can you imagine the police officer finding that?
I know. It was literally on the top of a wardrobe.
I mean...
She.
Yeah, I mean, there's serious issues here with Dawn, isn't there?
I mean, that's the second pregnancy. I'm not saying she concealed the first pregnancy, but I just have a feeling that actually she did know. And it was almost a thing of, if I don't say anything...
It's not happening.
It's not happening. Yeah. And this is the second time almost. I'm you know, she's some things giving in birth. Life. We all are, but, mm-hmm. you know, it...
Not with a baby.
It is that way of coping, isn't yeah. it?
Mm.
And God, you know, she had... I mean, it's not really a miscarriage, is it? She obviously gave birth at full term. Baby was stillborn. Well, this is what Dawn says anyway in the court transcript.
Yeah, I mean, they don't know whether it was born dead or alive, do they?
She says he was
yeah,
born
she
dead.
She said he was born dead.
Who knows?
I mean, may well have
take
been.
Her word for it.
Because he probably wasn't having. I mean, he could well, you know, he wasn't having obviously, you know, prenatal.
No, nothing.
Checking.
And you know,
was she? I'm not being. What's it? Was she? You know about the. Pregnancies and things. Was she a big lady? I just wonder if the pregnancy... like, because when you were pregnant, obviously, from the front, you could tell you'd either eaten the Christmas turkey whole or you were pregnant. No, I mean, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Dawn.
She's not thin, but she's not, like, a very large lady.
The only
either.
Reason I ask
she's
about...
kind of somewhere in between, I would say.
Yeah, the only reason I ask about size is that if, you know... If
but
she was a larger lady,
you'd still have symptoms, surely. Well,
no,
I know I did.
But if you was a larger lady, it would not be as obvious. Is my point with that?
No, I get what you're saying, but I think there's probably a lot more to it. Mm. I think from a psychological kind of perspective, it was a combination of all these experiences, in the psychiatrist's opinion, that caused Dawn to physically and psychologically retreat within the family home, not interacting normally with the outside world, shutting down in the face of any stress.
Jordan's health continued to deteriorate. On the 25th of November 2015, Dawn spoke with a manager at work, disclosing that Jordan had lost nearly 2 stone in weight. Dawn reported that she had taken Jordan to the doctor despite Jordan's apparent reservations. Dawn continued to disclose to her manager and co-workers at work that Jordan was unwell and that being diagnosed as malnourished and that he was prescribed multivitamins by his doctor. Sadly, there's no evidence that Dawn ever did bring Jordan to the doctor.
I always find this interesting that she almost knew that. So she's saying these things to her manager and to staff at work. So she's obviously aware that there's something wrong.
Matter, yeah.
But yet never actually did take him to the doctor because there's no records of it. But then why did she lie about it?
And Dawn was at work as well then, so she could keep a job.
Dawn was at work.
But don't get me wrong, you can be in a dissociate from stress and still... Depends what your job is, doesn't it, of course?
Yeah, I think she worked in like a B&M or something.
Ah, B&M.
I love B&M. But yeah, I thought that was quite interesting that she had the awareness to say that to a manager, which I just think is a bit bizarre, actually.
Depends how you look at that. Was she saying it to try and cover her arse kind of thing?
I don't know. Who knows? Who knows?
We don't know, do we? She never did seek medical advice, but it seems she knew that this was the expected thing to do. Hence, why she continued to lie to colleagues. We say lie, that's how it appears.
Yeah.
On the surface. Maybe that wasn't Dawn's specific intention.
We don't know.
But it appears that she lied to colleagues. So, yeah. And as Rachel says, we don't really know. Sadly, on the 3rd of June 2016, Dawn told a friend, Laura Thomas, that Jordan was bedridden and that he had been seen by various doctors, but they could not figure out what was wrong with him.
Again, that's untrue. He had never been seen by doctors in a long, long time, actually.
And again... when we said earlier on in this episode, when he was age 5, 6, 7, you know, when he was at school, school were aware and there were review meetings, etc.
Yeah, and there'd be like health visitors and stuff, wouldn't there? And
so I wonder why that. I don't know. I guess they must have thought the risk.
And
you know,
maybe for a while things were okay and they discharged him. Then obviously she pulled him out of school at age 12, was homeschooling him. People fall through the cracks.
And as well, you would think though, wouldn't you, with his history and pulling him out of school, so that, that contact with professionals is lost because he's just in it. You'd think that there'd be...
Like that would almost like trigger something.
Yeah, not necessarily based on... not necessarily based on the how he was at 5-6 years old,
but just
the
like,
fact they'd been taken out of home school. So you'd think that his schooling would be, okay, if you want to homeschool him.
Yeah.
But
we'll do a review or something. Yeah. I don't know how that works.
I don't
works.
Know these things work. No, I don't.
But
I don't
you would kind of assume.
You think so, wouldn't you?
Clearly not.
You know. Dawn reported during the hearing, so obviously the trial, that Jordan consistently refused to see a doctor. This may have been his choice at one time or another when he may have had the capacity to make this decision, fully knowing the potential benefits and consequences of such an action. However, there would have come a point where Jordan's physical and mental health would have deteriorated to the point where he would not have been making a capacitous decision regarding his health, and therefore it would fall in the hands of his carers, both Dawn and his grandmother, to seek medical attention despite Jordan's apparent protests. I mean... We're obviously not sure where...
I don't know when that happened or... You know what I mean? Because this went on for a long time.
Yeah, I mean...
And where's the kind of line of, he's not capacitous.
It's like in our work, isn't it? If people are deemed to have capacity to refuse...
like physical treatment.
Physical treatment, then there's nothing... Unless that becomes... life-threatening.
Yeah, there's really nothing you can do.
So we're not 100% sure with Jordan. I mean, you know.
But obviously capacity is only at that time.
Yeah, I mean,
as well.
How often was it reviewed? You know, that's the thing as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a tricky one.
It seems Dawn assumed that because Jordan was asserting that he did not want to be seen by a doctor, that this was, you know, that was a decision, absolute, and there was... no room for other adults to make decisions on behalf of him. It's confusing. It's very difficult to understand Dawn's frame of mind here, I think. It's almost like she became mentally and emotionally detached from the situation and was not able to fully comprehend the significance of his deterioration. Kind of like a, like we mentioned earlier, if I don't fully acknowledge it myself, then surely it can't be that big of a problem. In Dawn's own words, quote, "I was doing what he wanted. But at that point, I started to shut down and get stressed," end quote.
So during this time, Jordan began to develop pressure sores on his body from being so immobile in bed. Dawn and her mum, Denise, did in fact nurse him in regards to this, and they did so really to the best of their abilities. It seemed maybe they were able to acknowledge the importance of his physical health in relation to the bed sores, because it's something you can see, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
And it almost seems as if they concentrated all of their efforts into nursing these bed sores and really not looking at the full picture. Denise Cranston, the grandmother, said that Jordan Burling would have his nappies changed on the sofa. She and her daughter, Dawn, would carry him there and then undress him. So here's a little bit of an excerpt from the court transcripts. So the question was, would you take the nappies off so he was completely naked? And she said yes. You mentioned sanitary towels. Yes, we would put them over his bed sores. She did take photos of Jordan's rapidly decreasing bodily weight. However, it's not clear what the intention of these photos was. I think she was taking these photos to show Jordan, to be like, look at how thin you've gotten. You need to go and see a doctor. So, you know, she was trying to convince him to a certain degree.
What do we know? I mean, obviously, because of the physical complications, that could well impact on or have impacted on Jordan's mental state.
Yeah.
Do we know whether Jordan had any kind of sort of diagnosis of any mental health issues?
He had no diagnosis. But it looks, I mean, when you kind of go through all of the information, it looks like quite possibly there was a depression, I would say, from like my own like experience. But they never like diagnosed anything with him because he never saw anyone to be diagnosed. So how could you? So you're really only going off, you know, what the family said and kind of how, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's tricky. So Jordan continued to decline to see his doctor and his continue His condition continued to deteriorate. This is from a police interview, actually. According to Dr. Van Velsen, who's a psychiatrist, he was a psychiatrist who saw Dawn. She takes a picture of Jordan and we see that he looks so thin, emaciated, and she doesn't see it in a way because her need to feel and see that she's a good mother taking care of her son overrides her capacity to acknowledge what she is seeing. She later added, quotes, in her mind, she was looking after him and not seeing the reality of what was going on. She also told the court that Dawn displayed signs of a diminished sense of agency. When explaining that term, she said that it is when you are an onlooker onto yourself and not actually taking action to manage the situation in a healthy way. She also cited Dawn's decision to hide her dead child in a wardrobe as, you know, a prime example of this again. There's quite a few different examples happening in her life of not really seeing the full, I guess, gravity of what's happening.
Yeah, she's, you know, it appears, doesn't it, that, I mean, we'll come on to what happened in court and everything shortly, but she's either, you know, an Oscar winning actress, you know, she's presenting, you know, with a baby and all the serious issues here, isn't they? Which sadly impacted
on Jordan.
Jordan, yeah.
And like, I was reading loads of the Reddit stuff and like, everyone's like, oh yeah, she's such a horrible person, blah, 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 blah. But I just can't see it that way, actually. Like, I don't see it that way. She clearly had a lot of issues going on.
Yeah, I mean, she's an easy target, isn't she, to criticise?
She is, and they both are. And even Abby, the daughter who was involved, I mean, she didn't live in the house, but she was in the house quite a lot, frequently. They all had a big part to play in it, but
I mean, arguably, like Abby, you might... Not that we're here to attribute blame to anyone. That's not what we're doing. We're just presenting. But there could be an argument for that. I mean, I don't know about Abby's mental state, but could, you know, if we're going to blame anyone, I'm not blaming anyone, but, you know, Abby could have, because Dawn had lots of issues. We can see that.
Yeah, I think could they Abby all have, had, to be honest.
Right, okay. And it's... we're not here to blame anyone. It's not our job. So 30th of June would be Jordan's last day living. The coroner would conclude that Jordan's cause of death was acute bronchopneumonia and chronic severe malnutrition. There was no evidence of a medical cause to his deterioration.
I think this says that's quite interesting. So there was no evidence of a medical cause as to why he was losing weight. He was basically not eating. I wouldn't say out of choice, but clearly there's something going on from a mental health perspective, I think, because there's not a medical reason why he's not eating.
If he is severely depressed, then...
Yeah, but it's like, it's such a strange thing, though. I mean, he went from being so well to being so unwell, and there's not really, like, a clear time when that happened. It just seems to have kind of happened, and nobody seems to really know or be able to pinpoint a time when he was, you know... Yeah. Starting to refuse food and fluids and stuff. It's weird.
During the hearing, both Dawn, so Jordan's mom, and Denise, Jordan's grandmother, who also lived in the house and helped care for Jordan, described his last months in detail and even described Jordan's pressure sores as having, quote, green in them, sometimes pink or red, sometimes all three. Both Dawn and Denise insisted that they would only speak about Jordan going to a doctor in his presence, and that the fact he kept declining to go to the doctor was reason enough not to make any further attempts to seek medical attention. When Denise was asked what she would do differently in hindsight, if anything, she said, quote, I probably would have called a doctor in secret, but he would have refused to see the doctor, end quote. There seems to be no understanding that Jordan was so unwell himself, we're thinking kind of more mentally here, that he could not have possibly understood the consequences of his actions. Jordan never expressed a death wish, but equally didn't seem to express any understanding of the consequences of not seeking medical care, as far as we know. So, yeah.
So what was the outcome in court? Dawn Cranston was sentenced to 4 years for the manslaughter of Jordan Burling, as well as 2 years for the concealment of the birth of her child, whom she buried in the wardrobe. Dawn's mother, Denise, received a sentence of 3 years for the manslaughter. Finally, Jordan's sister, who did not live at the address, but who did spend quite a large proportion of her day at the address where Jordan lived, received 18 months for reckless behaviour. Her daughter was also removed from her care as part of the police proceedings. Looking at all the facts, it seems like Jordan may have been experiencing depression himself, as we've kind of already gone over.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't really come up with any other theory as to why he would just stop eating and drinking like that and literally just take to the bed. Like, it just doesn't, there's no other explanation from the information that we have.
Yeah, it's hard to know because it was quite a closed house. No professionals getting in.
Yes, there. And you're relying solely on Denise and Dawn and kind of their descriptions of what has happened.
Yeah.
And also his dad, who literally cannot even remember when the last time he saw him was. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all very bizarre. So according to Denise and Dawn, and this is in quotes, when he got to 18, he said, "I'm a man and that is it." We said to him he got a bit thinner, but he said, "Oh no." He went to the toilet one day and he says something had gone in his leg. He came back and said, "I won't walk again." We kept telling him to go to the doctor. He decided one day not to walk, and this is from the police interview. To me, it seemed like an obvious case for a Mental Health Act assessment. But I don't know what you're thinking about that, really.
Well, yeah, from the information we've got, I mean, obviously you need to clear some kind of, if there's any physical underlying factors there. I mean, what's apparently said something's gone in my leg. What?
I literally think...
Oh, like his hamstring or something. No, like his ligament or something.
I don't know. But I literally think that was just like an excuse to basically just be like, do you know what? I don't want to go anywhere anymore. I just want to lie in bed. You know, I want to be nursed. I don't want to eat and drink.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that was maybe he did hurt his leg or something, and that was like just an excuse to take to the bed, really.
And if that was a patient, I mean, I know he wasn't a patient, but if that was a patient, you'd be thinking, oh, hang on, he's refusing, you know, that might be his choice, but.
But not a choice if you are mentally.
Yeah, is his mental health.
At some, his mental, you know what I mean?
Yeah, is his mental health.
A factor.
Making him think that, yeah. If you see what I mean.
But
obviously, you know...
And the issue is that there was no professionals in the house anyway to trigger anything. So it was just this thing that happened and no one really knew anything about it.
Hmm.
I mean, yeah, her manager, Dawn's manager... And like some of the staff knew and had a little bit of an idea.
Yeah, but they're not gonna.
But if you heard that, you wouldn't do anything because she's saying to you, "Oh, we've brought him to the doctor and blah blah blah." You wouldn't think any more of it, would you?
If you were with someone and you had that kind of, you'd just think, "Oh, well, they're having a bad time," you know.
Yeah.
Or you might say in passing the next day, if your mind wasn't on your work or other things in your own life, you might say, "Oh, how did you get on at doctors?" But that's as far as it'd go into, really.
Yeah, in reality.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that I can think is that I don't understand why the dad didn't do more. Because he was in contact with Abby, and Abby was obviously aware of what was happening. And Abby was relaying this information to him. And he was obviously aware that Jordan wasn't coming to see him anymore as well. So, like, shouldn't he... That's a baby.
That's baby. That's baby.
Shouldn't he... He has something to say. Like, shouldn't he... have questioned that a bit more. But again, it just seems like they're all just like in denial. Like, if I don't know really what's happening, then I don't have to really do anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, he should have done, shouldn't he? Far be it from us.
Surely you'd be like, what the hell's going on with my son?
But he is his son, isn't he? And yeah, he's 18, but...
That don't make any difference. If someone's unwell, they're unwell,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, he's still his son, isn't it? It doesn't matter if he's...
Yeah.
Whatever age.
And the other thing that kind of came up for me was with Denise and with Dawn, because I think they're both like almost like the same person to me. Like, they sound very similar in regards to, like, their personality and kind of how they interpreted things and how they made sense of things. And I do kind of question whether they have, an undiagnosed...
Kind of like
learning disability, because it's that, or autism, because it's that like fixed thinking, isn't it? Of, oh, he's an adult, he's saying no, and it's very rigid.
There's no ability to, or
there's seemingly. No seeing anything else.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we don't.
You know, she never considered any other option, really, did she?
But in,
because wouldn't you like if you were really unwell, and if you were declined to see a doctor, I'd be like, calling the doctor anyway.
Oh, well, yeah.
I'll deal with that when the doctor comes, and I'll deal with the backlash. But, because, you'd call it anyway.
Because the thing is, if the doctor came And Jordan was like, no, I'm not seeing him. But if the doctor even got a sight of him...
Yeah, they'd be like, shit, there's something really serious.
He could get something going, couldn't he?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He'd be like ringing social services, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Saying, I've just been around to...
Yeah, it's... I think her mental state had a lot to do with it, though. And just kind of that fixed thinking, but that... I've already said that. That fixed thinking, but also... The inability to really understand in reality what's actually happening.
Yeah.
So that is the end of the episode.
Thank you. It's a very tired Neil and Rachel.
Yes, we have a newborn baby and he has decided that he only wants to fall asleep in my arms.
He's currently lying on that. Which is
fun. I mean, I'm not mad at him. He's only 2 weeks old.
Yeah, so you know.
We leave him off.
Yeah. So it's okay.
And this is his first episode, actually. So he's been in the background. If you've heard some squeaking, the baby.
It sounds like a creaky door, doesn't it?
He's currently sat on Daddy's lap.
Yeah.
There he is.
So, creaky door. Yeah. So thank you for listening.
And thank you from Noah. For it.
You might have heard a cat as well at some stage.
There was definitely cats.
One of the cats came in.
We just can't. We can't cope any longer. So the cats are all around, and baby is squeaking, and
everything's gone to shit.
This is what it is now. Yeah. So you're gonna have to get over it. But we will see you next week for a mini mad or bad.
See you
later.
Thank you for listening.
Bye. See you. Bye. As always, catch us on facebook.com/madorbad. You can catch us on Twitter. Our handle is @madorbadthepod. And also, we now have a Patreon account. So please go look us up. It is patreon.com/madorbad. You can access exclusive content. We have exclusive episodes only available to Patreon supporters. So go find us.